Hey all, thanks for listening today. Eric Christensen here, host of the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am a pharmacist, and people have certainly asked how to contact me, reach out to me with questions or sponsorships or other things like that. LinkedIn is a great way to track me down. So Eric Christensen, PharmD, you can track me down there, as well as through the website, reallifepharmacology.com. So that's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me. Thank you to all those who have left a rating and review. If you like the podcast, I would strongly encourage you to do so. That helps us in iTunes and rankings and all that good stuff and allows us to be found by more people. So with that, let's get into it. I'm talking about linezolid today. The brand name of this medication is Zyvox. And this medication is an antibiotic for infection. We've got oral and IV capabilities there that we can give this medication. Primarily, you know, it can be used for a variety of different infections, some off-label and things like that. Primarily, probably skin and soft tissue infections and pneumonia are going to be the most common, but you may see it for various other things as well. So there's two, at least really big bugs in my experience that linezolid can help treat. Linezolid is kind of one of those down the line type of drugs due to cost and due to its coverage capabilities. So it's not going to be typically not going to be used for empiric therapy where, you know, somebody's coming in with pneumonia, boom, you're going to give linezolid. No, that's not typically how that drug is going to be given. So the two specific bugs that it's really, really helpful in managing and treating are VRE, which is vancomycin-resistant enterococcus. So it's kind of right in the name, right? Where if a enterococcus bacteria is resistant to vancomycin, vancomycin's, you know, considered one of our go-to drugs for certain gram-positive bacteria, and enterococcus is obviously one of those. VRE is a very resistant bug and resistant to vancomycin. So linezolid does have definitely a role to play there. And MRSA, so methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. So we may have certain situations where vancomycin, maybe that specific bacteria is resistant to vancomycin. Maybe vancomycin can't be used for whatever specific reason. So MRSA and VRE are two of the bigger kind of resistant bacteria that you may see linezolid used for. Now, how exactly does the drug work? Kind of the big blanket statement, this drug inhibits the bacteria from producing, synthesizing protein. That's, you know, kind of a big broad overview. Specifically, it binds to the 23S ribosomal subunit, which is part of the 50S subunit. And this blocks formation of this bigger unit called 70S. So it's kind of a detailed process as far as protein productions and ribosomal activity and things like that. So primarily binds and blocks 23S, which is part of that 50S subunit. One of the big reasons linezolid isn't used incredibly often is because of adverse effects and drug interactions. Now, I'll talk a little bit about drug interactions after the break, but let's get into the side effects here a little bit first. So, hematologic side effects are kind of a unique thing associated with linezolid. So, lower white blood cell count, lower platelets, and this is why we monitor things like CBC typically with longer-term use. Now, if you use linezolid for 1 day, 3 days, and then you switch agents to another drug for some odd reason, odds are likely in that short amount of time, we're probably not going to run into reduced white blood cell count, okay? So typically this is going to be in situations where this drug is given for a longer period of time, maybe a few weeks, something of that nature. Another potential side effect, kind of unique to linezolid, is neurologic side effects. And there is potential for these neurologic side effects to impair vision, cause optic neuropathy. So that is obviously very, very concerning when you start talking about vision loss as a potential side effect. Again, more likely with extended course, extended duration treatment with linezolid, but it definitely is something we need to be aware of and one of the downsides to potentially using this drug. Lower risk side effects, but maybe more common. You may get some GI upset, things of that nature. And particularly kind of ties in with the mechanism of action. Linezolid does have some MAOI activity. Now, if you remember MAOIs, they can be used in depression, for example. But they are a last-line agent because they cause all sorts of side effects and they have a ton of drug interactions and really kind of a messy class of drug. Well, linezolid does have some of that activity as well. So this is something we need to be really careful, really cautious about. And like I said, I'm going to talk about that in the drug interaction section. Now for monitoring parameters, I kind of mentioned that CBC, complete blood cell count there. Visual, so if you've got a patient where they're on longer-term linezolid, you may want to do some visual assessments, nervous system assessments, monitoring for neuropathy and that type of pain. So those are a few important monitoring parameters, and again, you're going to monitor those things kind of the longer you go on with the course of therapy. There may be a greater risk of running into some of these things. Let's take a quick break here from our sponsor, and I'll finish up with drug interactions. We've got a huge list of clinical pharmacy resources at meded101.com/store, STORE. We've also got certain materials to help pass board exams like NAPLEX and BCPS, BCACP, geriatric exam there as well. So definitely go take advantage of those resources. Very well priced, all sorts of price ranges if maybe you're a student or something like that. But lots of different pearls you can pick up. Audible books, you can get your first Audible book for free. So that's kind of a unique thing there. If you've never tried Audible, you can go ahead and snag one of our books right off of meded101.com/store. Let's finish up on drug interactions with linezolid. And this is where things get really challenging in clinical practice. One of the things that always comes up very frequently with linezolid is patients who have depression. Most patients, the drug of choice for depression is an SSRI, and they are probably going to be on one if they've got a history of depression. Now, it is generally recommended to avoid using linezolid with an SSRI. So we get a situation, we've got an infection that needs to be treated with linezolid. What do we do? And from a clinical perspective and making decisions in real life, this is a very, very challenging decision because we know that SSRIs can interact with linezolid and increase the risk of serotonin syndrome. But we also know if we're presented a situation where we've got an infection that we're going to likely need to resolve that infection. So if you can hold off on giving linezolid, if you can find another agent, substitute, or replacement to linezolid, those are a couple of things to think about. The other thing to think about is holding the SSRI, let's say, you know, Prozac or Zoloft, for example. So can we hold that drug and try to minimize the risk? Now you run into other challenges when you, let's take Prozac, for example. Prozac has an extremely long half-life. So that drug's still going to be in their system, even if you stop it on Tuesday and you start linazolid on Wednesday. So that kind of presents an added challenge. As far as a true clean-out period, as far as stopping a drug and allowing all that drug to get out of the system, you're probably looking at 1 to 2 weeks for most SSRIs, and maybe up to 2 to 4 weeks plus for a drug like fluoxetine, or brand name Prozac. So this is a really, really challenging interaction to try to figure out, and it really goes on a case-by-case situation. You may have patients with varying degrees of depression as well. Some might be mild depression, some might be very severe, where they're at risk for suicide and you know, rapid, basically, decompensation. So has to be done kind of on a case-by-case basis, but looking for alternatives to linazolid and or holding, reducing dose. I've seen lots of different things done, but that interaction is real, and there is potential for serotonin syndrome. So whichever path you choose based upon the individual situation you're working with, very, very critical to monitor those patients and make sure we are doing things as safely as we possibly can, and obviously treating that infection. That's something else you're going to also look at, is how severe is this infection? Is it life-threatening today? Is it life-threatening in a week? Is it not life-threatening at all? Another kind of clinical thing that you're going to look at there. There are definitely lots of other interactions with linazolid. That serotonin one is a really big one. MAOIs, you're probably, you know, virtually never going to want to use linazolid with that type of drug. TCAs, which I talked about in a previous podcast as well. So the amitriptylines, things like that, those drugs are going to have some serotonin activity. So you could run into the same thing as SSRIs. Same thing with SNRIs, so duloxetine, venlafaxine, those two medications commonly used for treatment of depression and or in some cases pain, neuropathic type pain. So keep an eye out for drugs. If you see linazolid, I would strongly encourage you to look up the drug interactions. Or if you've got a situation where somebody might be considering using linazolid, have to keep an eye out for drug interactions. So I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks for listening. Go take the time to support our sponsor, MedEd101.com/store. You can find all our resources there. If you like the podcast, rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening, incredibly appreciative of all of you who have done that already. If you want to reach out to me, LinkedIn's a decent way to do it. RealLifePharmacology.com as well. Hit the contact button and that email will go right to me. So we'll leave it at that for today. Thanks for listening. Take care, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.